KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:04, we have clear skies, 2 degrees above zero in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today with a high of 29. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. In the news, a 52-year-old convicted Nebraska sex offender has been given 21 months in federal prison for failing to register after returning from a stint in an Iowa prison. The U.S. Attorney Deborah Gilg says Jeffrey Brockmeyer of Bellevue, Nebraska, was sentenced by U.S. District Judge Joseph Battalion. Brockmeyer had been convicted in October of 2003 of sexually assaulting a minor in Sarpy County, Nebraska. He later moved to Iowa, where he was twice convicted of failing to register as a sex offender. Court records say Brockmeyer was given 5 years in prison for his second conviction in January of 2007. Authorities say he returned to Bellevue in August of 2010 after his release from the Iowa prison, but didn't register with Nebraska authorities as a sex offender. News time is 8:05.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
A traffic stop on Interstate 80 in Pottawatomie County at around noon on Monday resulted in the recovery of 13 pounds of marijuana, some questionable baked goods, and the arrest of two men. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker told KJAN News yesterday morning that after Deputy Brian Miller pulled a Ford Mustang over for speeding on I-80 eastbound near Council Bluffs, the deputy suspected the vehicle's occupants were involved in the transportation of illegal narcotics. When Miller's canine partner Francisco conducted a free air search around the car, the dog alerted to the presence of narcotics and the vehicle was searched. Inside the car, Miller found vacuum-sealed bags of marijuana amounting to 13 pounds and some questionable baked goods, which he suspected contained marijuana as an ingredient. Taken into custody on charges of possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver, prohibited acts in violation of the drug tax stamp, was 20-year-old Ryan Vardaman of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and 25-year-old Charles Thompson of Huntington Park, California. The men were being held in the Pottawatomie County Jail. Sioux City is cutting the fines for violators caught on camera speeding or running a red light. The City Council this week approved decreasing citations from $195 to $100, an amount more in line with other cities with traffic cameras. Mayor Bob Scott, who proposed the lower fines, said the change will take place in about a month or so. Sioux City has 11 cameras and makes about $100,000 a month from drivers paying citations, which are sent through the mail. The change comes as state lawmakers consider banning the cameras. Supporters say they slow down motorists and improve public safety. Critics argue the cameras are simply a way for cities to make money and step on personal rights. An American Airlines flight to Dallas had to return to Omaha shortly after takeoff Tuesday morning because of a mechanical problem with the right engine. American Airlines Flight 1349 landed safely in Omaha shortly after it took off from Epley Airfield at around 8:20 a.m. American Airlines spokesman Ed Martell said 123 passengers and 5 crew members were aboard the MD-80. The passengers were being rebooked on other flights so they could reach their destination. Martell says the plane has been taken out of service until the problem can be identified and repairs made. The Cass and Adair County Boards of Supervisors will hold their regular weekly meetings today in Atlantic and Greenfield, respectively. In Greenfield, the Adair County Board will receive a recap on the new Public Safety Center and jail building, along with their monthly reports and a fifth judicial annual report. Other business will include discussion and or action on the E-911 addresses, a sponsored research agreement, and work on the budget. In addition, the Adair County Supervisors will set the date for a public hearing on their budget. Their meeting begins at 9 a.m. In Atlantic, the Cass County Supervisors will meet today at 1:30 instead of their usual 9 o'clock time slot, and the board will hear a report from Cass County Firemen's Association and a related request for funding from the Emergency Management Association budget for firemen's training. The board will also hear a secondary roads update from the county engineer and possibly act on the appointment of a Pimosa Township trustee. As time allows, they'll review a proposed fiscal year 2013 departmental budgets. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Jason Wickheiser says a course for experienced firefighters and other personnel exposed to fire, heat, or toxic atmospheres is being offered in Defiance next month. The Advanced Breathing Apparatus course is designed to provide experienced fire service personnel with advanced knowledge and skills development involving the use of self-contained breathing apparatus, or SCBAs, for the purpose of increasing the chance of survival in an emergency situation. Wickheiser says a mobile breathing apparatus trailer, or MBAT, will be in Defiance from March the 5th through the 17th. Among the topics to be covered during the ABA course are firefighter deaths and injuries, respiratory hazards, maintenance of SCBA, limitations of SCBAs, tight space maneuvering, and emergency survival techniques. For more information or to schedule a time for that class, you can call Jason Wickheiser at 712-755-2124. The first day of spring is still well over a month away, but it's time to start thinking about the first flower of spring and what it represents. Well, the American Cancer Society's Daffodil Days, set to take place March the 12th through the 16th. Orders are being taken now through the February 17th to raise funds for cancer research. Purchasing daffodils offers you a chance to show your support for cancer patients and the hope that cancer will be beaten. The daffodil is a symbol of hope. Denise Coder, board member of the Cass County Unit of the ACS, says the latest statistics indicate a decline in cancer mortality for the second year in a row, and Daffodil Days continues to serve as a means to fight cancer. Bouquets of 10 daffodils are available for a $10 donation. In addition, the American Cancer Society is once again offering the Boyd's Bear in a Bunch selection, which is made up of a bunch of daffodils, along with a specially commissioned Boyd's Bear with the American Cancer Society logo on one paw and a bunch of daffodils in the other. The Bear Edition is being made available for a $25 donation. For $15, donors can order the dainty daffodils in a pot, which can be replanted outside to bloom year after year. And the Gift of Hope can be purchased for $25. It'll be delivered anonymously to a cancer survivor. Atlantic residents can call Meyer & Gross Real Estate at 243-4100 to place your orders. Donations collected through the sale of daffodils will be used for cancer research, education, advocacy, and patient services. For more information, you can call Denise Coder at 243-7475 or log on to www.cancer.org. And taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, Republican presidential candidate Rick Santorum is labeling his rival Mitt Romney as a well-oiled weather vane who often shifts his positions. The morning after winning the caucuses in Minnesota and Colorado and Missouri's non-binding primary, Santorum says Republican conservatives are beginning to get it and that he's the best equipped to take on President Obama. The U.S. and Japan are announcing a compromise they're hoping will break a stalemate over opposition to the U.S. military's presence in Okinawa. Both governments say they'll discuss reducing the number of Marines on Okinawa, but some 10,000 U.S. troops would remain on the island. And after more than two decades of drilling, Russian researchers say they finally reached Antarctica's second largest ice-bound freshwater lake that's hidden under miles of ice. It's been there for millions of years. Scientists around the world are hoping the Lake Vostok may contain microbial life and provide a clue in the search for life on other planets in similar conditions. News time is 8:12.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements, Paul Nissen, age 77, of Minden, died Friday. Funeral services for Paul Nissen will be today at 11 a.m. at the Minden United Church of Christ. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Gene Hudson, age 83, of Carroll and formerly of Manning, died Saturday. Funeral services for Gene Hudson will be today at 11 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Russell Strable, age 61, of Messina, died Saturday. Funeral services for Russell Strable will be held on Thursday at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Don Mays, age 93, of Greenfield, died Monday. Funeral services for Don Mays will be held this Friday at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Peggy Ann Kindheart, age 72, of Oakland, died Monday. Funeral services for Peggy Ann Kindheart will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Oakland Christian Church in Oakland. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. And John Waters, age 89 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Services for John Waters will be held at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. The date and time are pending. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.